Greetings and welcome to Baron Crazes, Visions of Horror, episode number 14, covering the week of April 2nd to April 8th. We just started the show there with the band Ground Meat, and the track was Pathological Silence. They're found on Facebook and Bandcamp. Now, before we get started here, I had to record a new opening. To kind of bring everybody up to speed of going, wait a minute, Baron, this show is now airing on 4/26 of 23, and it should have gone off on April 8th. What gives? All right, let me try to sum up what happened. Basically, as a lot of you know, I've been having some issues, right? A couple of them have been really big resolves. Got some kind of interesting news there. Not going to get into it now. But the other one is I had to have a dental procedure. Basically, the Baron had a cracked tooth. And the pain, oh my God, this was severe. And it actually is taken about three times or visits to the dentist's office to get them to do the right procedure. Each time I walk in, they either didn't know what I was talking about or weren't ready or some other cockamamie little story along the line. And there I have to suffer, right? And trying to talk when you have a toothache is just about unbearable. I mean, your jaw is all hurting. It's all infected. It's numbed up. You can't function at all. So what are you going to do, right? You're going to try to talk. You're on all these meds and different things. Just about nearly impossible to do. And then they're like, well, we can't do the procedure because it's still got the infection. We got to do this and there's that. And it's just like one thing after another. So, you know, you're saying, okay, well, you know, why didn't you just do the show? And so the problem with airing the show is that we got backed up there. And I realized afterwards, someone kind of told me that I got a little too flippant with one of my responses to one of the films. Because it now it seems it has to go through somebody kind of listening to the show to make sure that I don't go a little too haywire on these shows. So that had to get corrected. And by the time that got fixed, you can imagine what else happened, right? So with that being said, I do apologize for these shows coming out late. If everything goes right the rest of this week, I think each day you're getting another show from the Vision of Horror podcast that will break down the entire month. And then hopefully everything will resolve itself and going into May. With that being said, it's going to be really weird how this kind of from me talking and how the show goes. But hopefully you all enjoy this this week of long a time ago to be done. Just to purely also note it, this is important. I know that a lot of people are probably getting kind of anxious going, where's the next Vision of Horror column? You know, when are these things coming up? Well, again, with all the problems I had with the dental and a couple other issues going on, there was no way of doing certain things. So the month of April got completely, well, screwed. There's nothing I could do about it. So a lot of these things are being resolved into May. You guys are going to love the issue for May. I've really got a lot of things going on for that. But, hey, enjoy this show, and thanks for tuning in to Baron Crazes, Visions of Horror, found on the Baron's Crypt page. So definitely like that on Facebook. We'll really appreciate it. All right. So here we are now. It's April 2nd. It's 2023. It's a Sunday, and the film I saw was Ruins from 2008, rated R, 1 hour and 30 minutes long, the perfect time limit for a horror movie. This film is celebrating a 15-year anniversary. It's an adventure horror thriller. The director was Carter Smith. The writer was Scott B. Smith. It stars Jonathan Tucker, Jenna Malone, Laura Ramsey, Sean Ashmore, and Joe Anderson. It came out from Paramount Pictures. Now, this film got a 5.9 out of 10. It was original release date of April 2nd in 2008. Its tagline, hey, terror has evolved. Okay. Now, the summary for this film is a leisurely Mexican holiday takes a turn for the worse when a group of friends and a fellow tourist embark on a remote archaeological dig in the jungle where something evil lives among the ruins. Interesting. you know, it's got an interesting kind of summary to it. We'll get into my thoughts about it in just a moment. Now, the film is actually on location at Mount Tamborne in Queensland, Australia. Actually, Queensland, Australia is actually a location for a lot of almost apocalyptic kind of thrillers that have been done in the past. I think Turkey Shoot was one of those, and a couple other movies like that. So it's been a really great place for filmmakers to make many of their movies there. The budget was $8 million, and it grossed a total of $22.8 million. So it definitely made its budget back. All right, so a little trivia for you. In the novel, there is no ruins to speak of. It's just a hill overgrown with vines and the shaft cut into it. Director Carter Smith suggested changing it to an ancient Mayan temple, and that concept, which is what Scott B. Smith then agreed with. Also, though the film takes place in Mexico during the summer, it is actually shot primarily in Australia during the winter. I know, that gets kind of crazy, right? So heavy coats were provided for the actors in between the takes, and water and olive oil had to be sprayed onto their bodies to simulate sweat. You think about that. It's cold, and you're freezing, and yet you got to think, it's warm. And there they are in this movie with their T-shirts on and shorts, and sometimes the shirts are off. So, yeah. That must have been one of those moments where you're just like, please, no one screw up. Everyone get it right. One takes, we're going to like one takes. You never know. They probably never got a one take. It never goes that way for different staging, filming, and everything else, and blocking and such. It never goes that way. All right, so let me put my opinion down here because, let's face it, I think it's justified in what I'm going to say here. First of all, you're basically in this movie, you're watching some 20-somethings die. I mean, and I know you say, wow, man, that's really brutal, very direct. I can't think of a character that I found likable. I really didn't find anybody. They're all just, I don't know, there's something about them. And they felt entitled to what they were doing. You know, no respect, no nothing. I mean, it is a creepy horror tale. It's got some grimness to it, unpleasantness. There's gore. Don't worry. There's dread. The hopelessness is there. But the characters, in a movie, as you all know, you must have likable characters. If you don't have likable characters, there's nothing that they can do. It just makes everything harder on you as a person. There are a few parts that can make one person squirm. It just is that way. My personal opinion, they don't go further enough with the gore. I mean, there are some ways these vines could really start playing havoc. I know. One of the biggest things, and I think they avoided it because they didn't want to go down this road. They didn't want to go down the Evil Dead road with the vines basically raping, if you would, and such. But, you know, you could have had those vines rape in a different way. Instead of going after the girl, why not the guy? I mean, come on. Let's be all equal here now. Let's be equal. We're always going after the women. Why not do something to the poor guys, right? I don't know. Maybe they thought, oh, that's our core audience. I don't think we should do that. And my attitude is definitely do that. And let's get perverse if we're going to do stuff, right? I mean, look, it's a simple story. Several tourists that go somewhere they're not supposed to do. And, of course, the locals aren't really happy about them. And let's just say, you know, at that point, you pretty much know what's going to happen in this. The film kind of reminds me of the Day of the Triffids meets a little Cabin Fever and a few spots of it. But otherwise, it is what it is. This film was watched on a DVD. And as for a closeout track here, we're going to be playing Midnight Syndicate. And the track is Among the Ruins. Midnight Syndicate is found on their .com page. They're found through Instagram, Facebook, basically all the social media sites you could think of. And then right after that, we're going to be playing a band called Porn, called Nothing But The Blood. And just to purely let you know, Porn does actually stand for something and not what you're thinking, so get your mind out of the gutter. Porn actually stands for Pure Obsessions and Red Nights. So just so you guys understand, so porn does have an actual title meaning to it. And I'll get this out right now. The band Porn is found on Facebook under Porn Obsession Red Knights. The thanks will be going out to Echo Zone, found on Bandcamp, Facebook, and echozone.de. So enjoy these two tracks, and then you'll be listening into the film that went off for Monday.
Thank you.
right, so here we are with April 3rd, Monday, with the movie Nothing But the Night from 1973. And before I get to there, let's recap. We just played Midnight Syndicate with Among the Ruins and the band called Porn with the track Nothing But the Blood. I figure with the movie being Nothing But the Night, why not have Nothing But the Blood? All right, so this movie was rated PG. It's an hour and 30 minutes long. Another film that hits the perfect running time for a horror movie. 90 minutes is usually your best time slot. Also on this day, I did go back and did a revisiting, if you would, or a rewatching, I should say, of Mrs. Claus from 2018. Well, this particular movie is 50 years old. It's a crime horror mystery movie. The director is Peter, and that's S-A-S-D-Y. The writers were Brian Hayes and John Blackburn, who did the actual novel for the that this movie is based on. It stars Christopher Lee, Peter Cushing, Georgia Brown, Gwyneth Strong, Kenneth Barron. Nice name. And do we have anybody else? Let's see here. I think there's one more name. Yes, Diana Dors. And Dors is spelled D-O-R-S. The film came from Astral Films. Got a 5.5 out of 10. Its original release date was January 19th of 1973. Now, the summary is three rich trustees are murdered, appearing as suicides. When a bus filled of orphans and three other rich trustees has an accident, Colonel Brigham investigates. Not a lot and not a good summary, but then again, I'm going to be really honest with you all. This is not a great movie with Christopher Lee and Peter Cushing. This movie, I'm going to warn you right now, this movie is solely for those fans that, you know, idolize these two actors. Otherwise, you can skip over this movie. It is not a really great film. I just want to kind of let you know that. And I know you're saying, Baron, don't you usually save that information for further down? Yes, but I'm giving it out early. All right, so let's go over the taglines. We got three of them for you. First is, who holds the key to this intrigue of murder? All right, next is ... and the terror. Then it's, this nightmare has already killed five people. Now it's your turn to live. That's a real wordy last tagline. None of those really get you, really hook you in there. The location for the film was the Stanmore Hall in Woodland, Stanmore, Middlesex, England. Now, the trivia for this is was the only movie produced by Charlemagne Films, which was created by Christopher Lee and Anthony Nelson Keyes. Despite the film's failure, Christopher Lee remained proud of the project in his memoir, believing that the film failed mainly because it was ahead of its time. And it would be proved later, and probably correct, with the film Get Out from Jordan Peele, that was released to a great success in 2017. So if that gives you a slight indication of what this movie is about, that probably would help. And I would have to agree with that assessment, that the film does mirror some of what happens in Get Out. So is that to say Jordan Peele copied from it? I would probably go as far as say, I bet Jordan Peele didn't even know this movie existed. Again, it's not a type of movie that's on a lot of people's radars out there. Unless you are a huge fan of Christopher Lee or Peter Cushing, you wouldn't know about this movie. I'm sorry about that. It's one of those films that's really forgotten out there. The film, okay, I watched it on YouTube by pure accident. I was looking for something else, and I typed in something about like nothing or whatever it may have been. And next thing you know, bang, there this is. I'm like, oh, wow, check that out. So I put the link into the script. So if you're following along with the script, you found the link for this already. So let's get into my opinion about the movie. I don't know really where to begin. There's tons of red herrings going on in this film. A lot of vague clues. Plenty of cliches are also occurring. It's got the odd and unusual, but nevertheless, it's imaginative, supernatural horror thriller, I guess. Done in that customary of the British, that British tone and feel to it. You do know these two actors very well if you've seen their films, but it's got now the supernatural angle put to it, something you don't really expect. Mixed with the detective story being sought by Scotland Yard. You know, you already know where I'm going with this. It's got a bit of suspense in there, but still not enough. It feels like they wanted to do more, but I don't know, budget, time, maybe looking at Christopher Lee with his company, the first film they're producing, they got a little unsure of themselves. Maybe the budget was too tight for them to handle everything. So many things can possibly happen in that situation. Look, Lee and Cushing do a good job. It's the fact that, I don't know, there's something lacking, though, I think, from the rest of the supporting actors. They're not living up to their level. And you're saying, well, Baron, come on. Who could live up to a duo of Lee and Cushing? I'm not too sure, but I can tell you this much. If you had an actor really wanting to, they would have to up their game. It's really up to those two lead actors, really, in any production. If they got to have other characters and actors to help out and support, then they're working with them to come on. You know, either it's a matter of getting into them, antagonizing them, you know, pushing them. Each person is a little bit different. Some you got to stroke an ego. Some you got to kind of get in their face and get them to engage. They'll get that gusto going. Get that, you know, that inner part of them really spilling out. And that's sometimes great. When an actor can do that for another one, that's what you want. That's the whole essence of everything. If you can pull it out of somebody else that's going with, I'm really intimidated here. I'm on this set with, you know, these two giants, and how am I supposed to, you know, do this? Well, guess what? If you know yourself, you're sure of yourself, bang, you can do it, okay? How should I put this? There's a bit of this dabbling in hypnotism that is going on in this movie. Almost in pathology-like mannerism, if you would. It's venturing into this hypnotism. And, you know, 1973, this is kind of a new thing. I mean, when we think of hypnotism in horror films, especially up to this point, what are we talking about? We are talking about vampires. So they got that mind control thing, the eyes and everything else. So this film is using, not that obviously, is using hypnotism in a whole different way. And that's why you can make that link over to Get Out and how it's used there. So, you know, you got that one little element. So if you're curious, maybe you want to go back and watch it for that. But otherwise, I could say you could take a total pass in this movie. But I got one thing that can make it interesting for you to watch. It's free. And it's not off of 2x. This is on YouTube and it's free. So you guys can definitely check that out. So I guess basically rounding this out, so we'll be ready for the next film that comes up in this week. It's going to be Roadhog with the track Dead of Night. All right, so you just heard Road Hog with the track Dead of Night. The band is found on Bandcamp, Facebook, and Instagram. The label and the thanks goes out to Stormspell Records, which is found on Facebook, Bandcamp, and Stormspell.com. If you're following along with the script, you found out there is a music video to go with the Road Hog track there. Anyway, we're on now on April 4th. It is Tuesday with the movie Dead of Night from 2013. Get it? See, Dead of Night, Dead of Night. Yeah, I know, it's just so cosmic put well together. All right. So we got here is a not rated film. It's 1 hour and 26 minutes long. It's celebrating a 10-year anniversary. It is a horror movie. It's by director and writer S.J. Evans. It stars Tony Todd, Joseph Milson, Gary Mavers, Cece Tennant, Paul Fox, Simon Bamford, and Susie Lorraine. The company that put it out was first Blue Sky Media and then followed by Midnight Releasing. Now, this film got a 2.9 out of 10. Original release date for it was April 4th of 2013 in the UK, a limited release. So, a summary about the film. When a group of ghost hunters investigates the infamous Jericho Manor, they soon realize it's not just ghosts that go bump in the night. As people get murdered, the survivors need to discover who or what is killing them before it's too late. Yeah, you kind of know what this film's about, right? It's pretty obvious. We got three taglines. We've got, it's not just ghosts that go bump in the night. All right. Next one is, if you think it's just another Blair Witch, think again. We'll talk about that in just a moment. And then lastly, it's, death follows those who seek it. That last one, I can work with that one. Okay, yes, you go, oh, well, Baron, that's six words? Yeah, I know, but I can work with it. That second one, no way. Why don't you think that second one is going to be something you should trust? Because what does it say? If you think it's another Blair Witch, think again. What I'm telling you, that's that old rule. You know, and we're now planting those seeds again. Because there was a group of people that either liked the Blair Witch or they hated the Blair Witch. Okay, it was kind of wishy-washy on it if you go that way. So it's just like saying, hey, if you like Tom Hanks in this movie, you'll love him in that movie. Or if you like John Carpenter's films, you're going to love this. Or, you know, something like that. When you start doing that, it's almost like a bait and a switch. I really have to say that because it's so often, not all the time, but 9 times out of 10, you're going to get that bait and switch really thrown at you. Because that's where the person who's coming up the tagline really either is inexperienced or they really don't know what they want to say or they don't know how to sum up their film. They can't think of the right words. So then maybe they're not really thinking about getting a tagline doctor like myself to come up with those words, those prize words. I mean, with me, I've got a tagline database, and most people don't have that. Okay, it's a private one. It's not online. You know, it's offline. And it's just mine, and it does. You know, when I see these things, you know, if I'm given that opportunity for a film, I am not going to tell you about another movie, another director, another actor. I am going to talk about that movie. Because that's the movie that's there. So that, you know, it's just something that's really important. Let's see. This film was on location in Wales, UK, at the Craigie Nos Castle in Penye Caig. So there you guys go for that. The budget for it was equivalent to $24,000. And the film is found on Tubi. Let's get a little bit of a Facebook there. You can't even find it. We put the link up for you. You'll have to follow this directly to get to it. And as for my opinion, it had potential, but it fails. And look, I'm telling you right now, it's definitely not a Grave Encounters or even a Session 9 type of film. It tries to go there, but it doesn't get there. It really doesn't. I mean, again, we got a found footage movie. Yep. The Paranormal. Yep. We threw in a slasher element. Yep. That's all in there for good measure. And then we kind of try to put it in with a one more offering, a detective investigation story, almost like a bit of a crime thriller. See, but we have too many things going on. We got the found footage, paranormal. All right, those can go together. Now we threw slasher into it. All right. It's a new vein. I like it. But then we put the, you know, the detective story on top of it. No, it's too much weight. And the film, it's driving too far. You put too many plot devices into the movie. If you don't have the right amount of money, you don't have the right cash, you're not going to be able to pull it all off. Something's got to drop. And the detective story, that's what I would have dropped. That's right there. There's other three really good. They're very meaty. You can work with those. That one extra one, I'm sorry. That's what I think really sinks the movie down. The acting is okay. It's nothing they're going to be like, woo, all right, a war of time here. But again, when you're using a $20,000 budget, it's going to be limited. The killing is a letdown. I'm going to have to say that right now. The practical effects are not that great. They're kind of unimpressive there. And I think when this happens in films, you really can't show a lot. Then what you should do is kind of do, I don't want to say, don't do a cutaway. Don't do that. But turn the scene in the darkness and now allow the sounds, if you would, the sound of hitting a melon and make that echo so it's like hitting the body. Make the sounds of screams, blood-curdling screams and pleading and such. Get that ramped up. Get that really working it over. Have the scene afterwards. If you're going to, say, use a baseball bat, for example, you know, show a rag being wiping off the blood on the bat. And that way you make it look like that. But now, just a note, what would really go a little bit further is if you age your blood, right? You don't want to have it look too bright because that's just fresh. If your blood's going to be on there for a little bit, make it look brownish in color. That's what you want. Make it look kind of thickish there. It's you know, disgusting looking. Too bright, for too long period of time, never works. I mean, the horror fans nowadays, we're well in tune with how blood ages, if you would, and the color of that. Tom Savini has given many lectures about this, how the color of blood changes over time. So if you're thinking your blood's going to be bright red the entire time, weeks later, whatever it may be, no. It's going to change. It'll become much more brown in color. It's going to look this way. And you want to have that. So you want to have some of these after moments for the blood and the carnage. I think that would be really great for that. So there's that. Now, filming and directing and editing, those are basics. I mean, if you don't have them figured out, then, you know, you got some problems that are going to come up in the film. And it does happen every once in a while, a little clunky here or there. And of course, now the found footage with the multiple cameras, you know, you got to obviously do a lot of different editing into it, but not too much editing. Because again, it's a found footage movie. So there really shouldn't be that much. It's depending on how honest you're going to be with your found footage. That's the key. If you start cutting it and you start doing a lot of jump cuts, we all know that it's not found footage. You've been editing and playing around with this footage for a long period of time, so be aware of that. And that's pretty much it for that movie. I think you get it. It's predictable, yes, but then again, I think we're pretty much in a common place now with these movies. We've all seen so many of them. They are almost very predictable. It's very hard to change that direction unless you're me and you're working on your own screenplay and you're going in a different direction in horror. And yes, The Baron is doing just that. All right, so we're going to be closing this one out with a band called Killfeather, and the track is called Plants. So I enjoy this one, and just listen to after that, and you guys will fall right into Wednesday's film.
I can't, I am. fast, soft, and slow. Minutes last too fast, just like the wind blows. Thank you.
All right, so you guys heard Kill Feather with the track Plants. The band is found on Facebook and also Bandcamp, and thanks goes out to BJF. So definitely check them out. They are found on Facebook, also I think it's Instagram, and even Twitter. All right, so welcome to April 5th. It is Wednesday, and the movie is Day of the Triffids from 1963. This movie's got a rating of approved, and it's 1 hour and 33 minutes long. Now, Triffids are a plant, and hence that tie-in with the song Plants by Killfeather. All right, so it's obviously celebrating an anniversary, 60 years. It's a horror sci-fi movie. Now, the director for this film is actually two. There's Steve Selsky and Freddie Francis. The writers were Bernard Gordon, Philip Jordan, and John Wyndham. And John did the novel for the book, did the novel for the movie. It stars Howard Keane, Nicole Murray, Jeanette Scott, Edwin Roberts, and John Tate. The film that put it out was Allied Artist Pictures, and the summary is, after an unusual meteor shower leaves most of the human population blind, a merchant Navy officer must find a way to conquer the tall, aggressive plants which are feeding on the people and animals. It's got a 6.1, and the release date for this film was actually April 27th of 1963. Now, we got quite a few taglines, so let's get into it. And when I say quite a few, I really do mean that. There's about 14 of them, and I'm going to be very honest with you. About four of them are not very good taglines. They're way too long, and I will note them to you as we get to them, but I'm not going to just single them out. I'm going to go right down in a nice little order here, and then I'll tell you which one I found to be the best out of the list. All right, so first up is Spine Chilling Terror. Then it's A Brain Chilling Tale of Tomorrow Happens in Our World Today. Then we've got In the Footprints of the Invasion of the Body Snatchers and The Thing Comes a Masterpiece of Filmmaking from 1962. All right, The Triffids Are Coming to Devour the Human Race. Suddenly, the hideous crawling things are everywhere, and no one can escape. Then it's From the Nightmare Novel That Made the World Shudder. Next is Fantastic, Frightening, and Entirely Plausible, John Wyndham's famous story of a world dominated by monstrous, stinging plants catches the imagination like the best of H.G. Wells. Then we've got A Great Radio Serial, a tremendous best-selling novel. Now, magnificently done live on the giant CinemaScope screen. All right. Then it's A Nightmare Come to Life from the Novel That Frightened the World. Then it's Beware the Triffids. They grow. They know. Walk. Talk. Stalk. And kill. Then it's Triffids Take Over the World from the greatest science fiction novel of all time. And then our last three. Here we go. Man Eating Plants, Spine Chewing Terror. Two are left. The Triffids Are Coming, The Triffids Are Growing, The Triffids Are Killing. And then finally, From the Greatest Science Fiction Novel of All Time. And there we go. So, we had four there that were just way too long. And again, what do? With one of those, we got In the Footprints of Invasion of the Body Snatchers and The Thing. Filmmaking from 1962. The film came out in 63, so a little hard to have that from 62. And again, we're referencing back to other films, so that's not that great at all. And in that one, they're also combining the word body snatchers as one word instead of two, as the title is that way, with two words. So that tells me they know that they're really limited on space. They try to shorten that up, but it doesn't look right at all. So there's a lot of problems there. The other ones, they're devouring the human race. We got to talk about the novel. What do we care about the novel? Forget the novel. No one's reading the novel. They're here to watch a movie. They're not here to read a book. So, you know, that doesn't work out really well for a lot. A lot of this talking about the great radio serial. I understand we're trying to get other people from other facets of life back then to come and watch the movie, but it just becomes way too clunky. Basically, I think probably the best thing we've got here on this list is Spine-Chilling Terror. If your movie poster has the artwork, I think this will work really nice. You could go with Beware the Triffids. They grow, they know, they walk, they talk, they stalk, and they kill. Now, I know you're going to say, Baron, doesn't that break the rule? It goes well beyond the word limit. Yes, it does. But in this rate, it may be best to use those words if you trail them down. Remember, trail them down the movie poster. Now that makes their eyes go from the top of the page slowly down, scanning these monstrous-looking creatures, which I'd guarantee the artwork looks a hell of a lot better than what we can find in the movie. So there you guys go for that one. All right. Okay. So moving right along here. Location, Mooresfield Eye Hospital, City Road in London, England was used. And also Lincoln's Inn Fields in Holborn, London, England was another location. Film had a budget of $750,000. Now, a little bit of trivia for you. The book was an influence on 28 Days Later from 2002. And, as you guys are like this, how well do you know that movie E.T.? You know, the extraterrestrial little creature, right? From 1982. Would you be shocked to know that the plants, called the Triffids, inspired the E.T. plants that were used in that film? Now, how about that? I think that was a pretty interesting little piece of trivia there. Most people don't even know that. Now, this film was referenced in the Rocky Horror Picture Show from 1975, Dead End from 85, The Guardian from 1990, and Matinee from 1993. It was featured in the film Creepy Classics in 1987. I did watch this film on a DVD, so that was pretty cool. And my opinion, believe it or not, I'm going to say I do like this film. I don't know why. I really don't. When it's on, if I've had the opportunity to watch it, then I do watch it. All right. And, the story begins with, you know, the city full of blind people. So, we've seen this kind of thing in other films, but it works here a little bit better. That's stricken by the meteor shower, so that's got these new spores and the flesh-eating plants. So there's quite a bit there to enjoy. You just have to, I guess, really, be careful how you're going to nibble on things to see how you're going to react to this movie. It's not boring, but it does give an interesting, credible situation, if you would. The acting is pretty good in it. Got a nice subplot about an innkeeper, a marine biologist. So I think that's pretty cool. Something to give you something to root for is going on in this film with different characters. It's not maybe overall suspenseful and well-paced, but I think at times it speeds it up and other times it slows it down. And that tells me that's a little uneven, but it just is the right style for the film. It works out well. We'll see a lot of cultural aspects in this film, too, if you watch it. Things that you're like, what is this person doing or what's that person doing? You're going to see that in this film, guaranteed, and yet it's going to be, I think, still really good for a lot of people to watch it. They did then. I don't see anything that's going to happen now. I think they're just going to continue to enjoy that very much. Definitely be aware of that. Otherwise, just understand, look, it's not a masterpiece, but it is going to hold up very well all these many years later, so be aware of that. All right, I can tell you this, that on April 6th, that's tomorrow, basically it's a medical day for me, so there won't be any films, and we'll be returning on for Friday. So With that being said, I'm going to be playing one track here from a band called, and I'm going to spell this out, it's R3VO with the track Dorian Gray. So enjoy that, and guys will be listening shortly to the Friday film. Welcome to April 7th, Friday. You guys just heard the band R3VO with the track Dorian Gray. They're found on Instagram and Bandcamp. Thanks for that. Goes out to my friend there, Zach. All right, the film. Well, you can guess it. It's the picture of Dorian Gray from 1973, a TV movie. This film was rated TV-14, which is an hour and 51 minutes long. And also, I saw the film called Battle Dogs from 2013, another TV movie. This particular film, the picture of Dorian Gray, is 50 years old. It's a drama horror movie. The director is Glenn Gordon. The writers were John Tomerlin and Oscar Wilde. It stars Charles Aidman, William Beckley, Nigel Davenport, Brendan Dillon, Vanessa Howard, and Linda Kesley. The company that put it out was ABC. It's got a 6.3 out of 10, and the release date for it was April 23rd of 1973. The summary for this particular movie is, Victorian London, a beautiful young man, is given a portrait of himself by an admiring artist. Soon after this, he treats a young woman cruelly and notices that his portrait seems to look meaner than it used to. Eventually, he cannot endure the portrait and hides it in the attic. As the years pass and he becomes even more unscrupulous and desolate, his friends remark on how he is as handsome as he ever was and never seems to age. But up in the attic, the picture becomes uglier than it's his own sinful ways. Well, that's interesting, right? Now, the trivia for this film. Throughout this film, in various arrangements, composer Bob Colbert recycled his 1969 Top 40 and Grammy-nominated hit, Quentin's Theme, from his music for the television episodes of Dark Shadows. This film has a reference here of being featured in the Deadly Earnest Nightmare Theater, The Picture of Dorian Gray, which was a TV episode in 1978. Now, I should tell you that this film has a few other versions of it, so let's get to those. We have The Picture of Dorian Gray. It was a short film in 1913. It became a feature-length film in 1916. Another feature-length film in 1918. Still staying with our features. We had it then in 1945, was probably one of the best versions of the movie. Then it switched over for a 1970, moving on to a 1974. Got another TV movie, but this time it was called The Sins of Dorian Gray. That came out in 83. Then we went back to some feature films, or at least very, you know, standard length, about 90 minutes long, if you would. The Pact with the Devil came out in 2003, and then The Picture of the Dorian Gray in 2004. So it's pretty easy to see that this works that way. This particular movie is found on Tubi and also on Pluto platform. In my opinion, it's a great drama for its time. It still holds up pretty well today. I mean, Dan Kurnos, who directed, you know, from the big collection of Dark Shadow series, really says that element of gothic aspect coming into this story, too. Nigel Davenport really steals the show as Dorian's older mentor, corrupting influence. Now, I will state this because I know how people get nowadays, and I really don't know why they're this way, but it's kind of like something where I have to say it. So, hey, I'm putting it out there, so you just be aware of it. There are some subtle homosexual aspects, and they're handled so well. I mean, gotta remember, this is on network TV in the 70s. This subject, forget about being taboo, not spoken of really. I mean, it is really a rarity that is being out there. Not a lot of episodes out there on the television circuit are even broaching onto the subject. And they're saying what they need to say without really saying anything. It's that look, the suggestion, nothing really overt. You know, the good way of looking at this film, in that sense, if you would, trying to commute something without actually saying it. I don't know, maybe authors are going to have to start doing that in certain parts of our nation. But a good way of doing that is the film Rope from 1948 from Alfred Hitchcock. That film obviously has got the homosexual undertones into the film there. They're running really rampant. It's very easy to see them. And even, I would say, they go past that bit of there and they go into more of a really twisted taboo aspect to them. And it's not said. I mean, you couldn't say that in 1948. No way. And now you're thinking, okay, here you are in 73. You still can't really say it. I mean, especially, again, on network TV. It's not something that they're really comfortable with. So having to come up with ways around that, to film it, to stage it, and everything else, you know it was very difficult. But it is just something that does work in the film. The story about a young, vain man, you know, who makes a passing wish as time passes that he remain forever young and handsome, and his portrait would instead age for him. This way he could live this debauched lifestyle, if you would, and suffer no ill effects. And this, you know, begins to have that. This film does embrace a hedonistic sociopath that is completely corrupt of any morals. The morals are really just vanished away. And it's maybe how you can get to these other aspects. But, you know, if you just want to go with that, okay, if you're living the hedonistic lifestyle, it doesn't mean that you're truly evil. I mean, it doesn't mean you're doing it maybe right, but the film, you know, tries to show what he's doing as one of the seven deadly sins of vanity is clearly marked here. So there's some undertones there throughout the film, and I think you guys would like it if you really just give it the opportunity with that. All right. So with that being said, we're going to play another track here called Hot Mama is the band, and the track is Voodoo. We'll be right back. So we've come to the end of the week. It's April 8th of 2023, Saturday. And you guys just heard the band Hot Mama with the track Voodoo. They are found through fastball-music.bandcamp.com. And that's how you're going to find that band, Hot Mama. What an interesting band name. All right, so the movie is I Walked with a Zombie. Now you're going to think, wait a minute, Baron, what's the year for this film? It's 1943. Its rating is called Past, and it's an hour and 9 minutes long, a black and white movie. Now you're going to say, well, okay, Baron, how is the title of the song Voodoo connecting to a movie about a zombie? Let's understand something. Basically, prior to 1968, okay, with the Night of the Living Dead, all zombie movies prior to this point have the connection to voodoo. Understand that? Voodoo. All right? And that's how I made the connection for this movie. Now, that isn't to say that after 1968, every film involving the term zombie becomes the zombie, you know, gut-munching or brain-eating type. No, no, no. You have to remember back then in, what is it? 88, we got the Serpent in the Rainbow that has that theme of the voodoo going on in it. So just to kind of, you know, give you that variation on there. So this film is 80 years old. It's a drama, fantasy, horror movie. The director and everything, we'll be into that in just a few moments. I want to get into a few other aspects. I want to do this one a little bit different, right? So the company that put this out was RKO Radio Pictures. So they were making that transition again from the radio over to more filmmaking. This film has got a 7 out of 10 on the Internet Movie Database. However, some sites do put it all the way up at 8 out of 10. It is a really good movie, so don't let the fact that it's not that long, nor being in black and white, turn you away. If you do that, you're missing a golden opportunity with this movie. All right, so the release date for it was April 30th of 1943. The summary is, a nurse is hired to care for the wife of a sugar plantation owner who has been acting strangely on a Caribbean island. So it doesn't sound like much, but it actually is. Now, there are a few taglines for this film, which we're going to get into right now, so hold on. Of which there are 9 of them, and a couple of them are just way too long. And I do try to go through here and tell you at least which ones are print ads so that you can say, okay, now I understand some of these. But I also want you to understand something else, that what you're having here is a few others that are just way too long to be on a movie poster. And one of those is the first one I'm going to do right here. Here we go. See this strange, strange story of a woman whose lord set brother against brother, whose love caused hate, and whose beauty bowed to the will of an evil spell, in whose power we must refuse to believe, even if it is true. Too much, too wordy, too many things. You're missing the audience. It's never going to happen. It's not going to connect. No way. Next is, the blackest magic of voodoo keeps this beautiful woman alive, yet dead. Okay, so there you go for that one too. Then we have Blonde Beauty, doomed to be one of the Walking Dead. Again, Walking Dead is not the same thing as the zombies of the gut-munching type. This is voodoo. You're giving up your body, you're giving up your soul to the voodoo magic that is being used. Then we have, see this strange and startling story of a woman whom to all happen. Very wordy at the end of the whom and the who and the whole thing. Very wordy, not a very good one. The next two are for print ads in Lubbock, Texas. So be aware of that. These were also done all in caps. I'm not going to screen them out, so you just have to envision them being in all capital letters while you're reading your evening paper. Seriously, that's what I'm talking about. So here we go. Voodoo, black magic, witchcraft. That's one. Next one is From the Land of the Living Dead. All right, moving right along. We've got, I think, three left here. Yes, here we go. She's alive, yet dead. She's dead, yet alive. Uh-huh, okay. Then we got, who said the dead don't walk? All right. And lastly, see it happen right before your startled eyes. In the screen sensation that rips the mask from the darkest secrets of the forbidden voodoo. Too wordy, too much is going on, no way, not interested, the end. So be aware of that too. Now we got quite a few references, so I want to tell you this film was referenced in many things. For example, here we go. We have this film being referenced in I Eat Your Skin from 71, Dawn of the Dead, 78, Zombies, 79, The Horror of It All, which was a TV movie from 1983, Reflections of the Living Dead from 1993. Zombies, The Truth, 2010. Night at the Movies, The Horrors of Stephen King, a TV movie from 2011. Attack of the Brain Sucker was a short film from 2012. From Romeo to Rome, The Rise and Fall of the Italian Zombie Movie from 2012. The Birth of the Living Dead from 2013, Burying the X from 2013, Escape Room from 2017, and finally, Boris Karloff, The Man Behind the Monster for 2021. This film had a remake. The remake was called Ritual from 2002, and it was also spoofed in Zombies on Broadway in 1945. This film was watched on DVD, but I guarantee you this, it is definitely shown every Halloween season, usually on AMC, so definitely check that out if you get the opportunity. It is a great movie. If you're into your old black and white films, if you're into voodoo being the prime cause of the living dead, then this is going to be something right up your alley. You're going to really like this movie. If you aren't into that, and you think all films that are black and white are stupid, maybe this will help you, you know, change your mind. I know Psycho would definitely change your mind if you actually sat down and watched it and not try to tell me the 1998 version is great. No, I'm sorry, it doesn't work. Here again, this film does work on a lot of different avenues and levels, so I definitely want you guys to be aware of that. I think everything is handled with a great bit of sensitivity and authenticity really comes through when dealing with the African-American characters. A lot of these films back then didn't really care about their way they appeared, what their intentions were and such. And this film actually goes a little bit further than that and does give you that kind of positive response. And there's that, all that dignity is in there with pure respect, really done well. And it actually gives the actress a chance to shine, just not off to the side with nothing to do. So I think this is a little, maybe even going above and beyond what any other film at that time was really doing. So this is very good to watch that. A solid screenplay, contains rarely seen amounts of eeriness there. A great way they did bring that through with the script and into the storyline. Again, tons of censors all over the place, and yet they were able to weave this film through all that and really do create some wonderful elements to it. You got Betsy Collin, which is played by Frances D, is a Canadian nurse hired to come to the Caribbean island of St. Sebastian to work at Fort Holland. There she will attend to the needs of the mute and unresponsive and yet seemingly alive Jessica Holland, which is portrayed by Christine Gordon. Jessica is the wife to the plantation owner named Paul Holland, which is played by Tom Conway, and with whom Betsy falls in love. And Betsy becomes determined to do the right thing by Paul by trying to cure her if she can. And that includes immersing herself in the local voodoo culture. And hence, now you understand why I did the opinion before talking about who starred in this movie, because I just felt it would get you a little bit more interested in this. Now, as for those who were in the film, it starred James Ellison, Tom Conway, Frances D, Christine Gordon, James Bell, Teresa Harris, and Sir Lancelot. Now, the writers for this particular film were Ardell Ray, Inez Wallace, Charlotte Brontë, who did the novel for the movie, and Kurt Sodemark there. That's Siodmak for the writer. As for the director, really unsure how to say the director's name. Not going to pull out the Google Translator for just one name, so that's going to have a nice little spelling. Is J-A-C-Q-U-E-S, and then the last name is T-O-U-R-N-E-U-R. If you can say it, wonderful. I couldn't, so there you go. Otherwise, this is a pretty cool movie. I would definitely recommend you seeing it, especially since it's referenced in so many films after this. I mean, the list is really there, and it's always growing. It's quite obvious. It's constantly getting other films added to it. So this is definitely something you're going to want to really take some time and enjoy this movie. I'm seriously endorsing this film as probably one of those prize ones of the week with a big star on it. This is the film you want to watch. All right. And that is for the show, for the week, the whole thing. So we always, as usual, we're going to close our show with the band Bloody Hammers. And the track is Welcome to the Horror Show. The band is found all over the net. And enjoy the music. We thank you for listening to Baron Craze's Visions of Horror. This was episode 14, covering the 14th week of the year. And there you guys go. Thank you again. Make sure to like the Baron's Crypt on Facebook. We would greatly appreciate it.
inside you, it's alright, it's okay. Shock and shame are so far out of range. The name is left on